Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Taylor Downs. I'm one of the student pastors here. So welcome to all those who are in our worship center or those who are checking us out online this morning. If you guys have been here, if you've been here for a while, a couple of months ago, I told during a communion meditation that I was going to run a half marathon, okay? It did happen yesterday, right? And so I completed it. I'll just tell you that I wasn't first, but I also wasn't last. So that's a win. My legs hurt. So if I'm like looking weird up here, it's because this half down is just really, really sore. So thank you for you guys who thought about it. You probably didn't. You're like, didn't even know. All right, so it's fine. Just to throw out a little thing for ASM Academy Student Ministry, we do have things offered all summer for middle school and high school students, and so we would love for middle school and high school students to be a part of that. So our high school meets on Sunday nights, and our middle school meets on Wednesday nights, and so we would love to have you guys be a part of that, all those teenagers out there who haven't come. We want to meet you. We want to invite you to be a part of that because it's really, really important. All right, so speaking of students, how many of you were middle schoolers? All right, cool, awesome. Most of you, unless you're not that age yet, then you're not. I think you, yep, it's okay. You'll make it someday. Here's one thing. I want you to think back to when you were in middle school. Everybody do it. Think back to when you're in middle school. And I'm getting some looks like, no, don't make me do it. And the reason for that is because of one word. Awkward, right? Like middle school was just an awkward time of life. And if it wasn't for you, good job, right? But for most of us, middle school was an awkward time. Here's a picture of me, okay? Me, my brother, and my sister. I'm the one you're furthest right, the one that kind of looks like me but chubbier, okay? That was me before middle school, and it got worse. So that hair, I got highlights in it. It was bad. It was terrible. I was trying to look for a picture of me in middle school, but for some reason, they all disappear. I don't know how. If you would have seen it, you'd be like, that's why. Okay? Now, for all of you in here, you probably have some kind of picture of middle school where it's pretty embarrassing. Maybe as embarrassing or maybe more embarrassing than my pictures. And that's okay, because we all went through that together. But here's the thing. Not only is middle school probably awkward, but there's also something else that we all had in common when it comes to middle school. And that's, we were trying to figure out our identity, right? That was kind of the time where we started to try to figure out who we are. And so maybe for you, you tried a lot of different sports, right? And so you tried all these sports to try to figure out what you were good at. And then when you realized you weren't good at sports, you went to music, right? And you're like, okay, now let me try out all these instruments. And then maybe you were good at something there, okay? But you were trying to figure out what you are good at, to figure out who you are. And see, that's kind of what all of us kind of went through. We started in middle school, but it didn't just end in middle school, right? Like, it wasn't like, you know, second day of middle school, we found out who we were, right? No, it's a continual thing, right? We continually had to try to figure out who we are. And some, like most of us, are probably still trying to figure that out today. Like, we're on a journey of figuring out identity. And see, that's what this whole series has been about. We're trying to look at the identity of Jesus and then trying to figure out, okay, well, who does that say I am based on who Jesus is? And so we called this series The Hinge because really our faith hinges on the identity of Jesus. And really what we believe about Jesus matters. What we believe about Jesus really matters. And what we've been discovering is that Jesus' identity can also have a direct correlation to understanding our own identity. And so today we're going to wrap up the series. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 5, okay? And we're going to look at just a little more about Jesus' identity and what that means for our identity. So I want all of you to be your best middle school self. So don't act like middle schoolers because we all know how they act, right? But really, I just want you to be open, okay, to learn about your identity based on Jesus' identity. So before we get started, let me pray for us this morning. Father God, just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak in your behalf. God, I ask that you use my words, that they're not be my words, but they'll be your words. God, help us all to understand our own identity based on your identity. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. So now would be a great time to get out your Bible. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. So that's the last chapter in this book. And we're going to start in verse 1. So verse 1, it says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And so John kind of goes off and he tells us, this is your identity. And what he tells us our identity is that we are overcomers. That you are an overcomer. He asks the question, who overcomes the world? And then he answers it and says, the one who believes in Jesus Christ. And so he tells us our identity. Our identity is that we are overcomers. Well, what does that mean? What does an overcomer mean? Well, that's a very good question. The Greek word used here in this is this word Nike. Have you ever heard of that word before? Yeah, Nike kind of stole it, which really just means to conquer, to prevail, to be victorious. It was a really cold, muddy, rainy Friday night. We were down 21-6 going into late into the third quarter of this football game. My team was 8-0, and the team we were playing was 6-2. And so this was actually a really big game in high school football. Like, this was like trying to determine who's going to playoffs, what seeding, all of those things. And even more, like, my team wanted an undefeated season. Now, we were down. Now, long story short, because most of you could care less about me reliving my glory days as a high school football player, but early in the fourth quarter, I made a huge play. I tackled the quarterback. He fumbled the ball. One of my teammates picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown, and it changed the game. Right, we got the chance. We actually won the game on a last-second extra point block in the ending of the fourth quarter, and we won the game 28-27. And that was huge. You see, we overcame the deficit, and we won the game. And I can still remember the feeling of after that game of just winning that game. Now, it was a way different feeling than we were in the locker room at halftime, right, where the coaches were yelling at us because we were down. But then after the game, that feeling of excitement, that feeling of overcoming. See, overcoming is that feeling when you win something you didn't think you were going to. That's what overcoming is. It's winning something that you didn't feel like you were supposed to. But here's the thing about overcoming, is that you cannot overcome if you are not down. You cannot overcome if you are not losing. It's really hard, because literally the definition of the word overcome means to prevail, to defeat something, succeed in dealing with a problem. And so in order to overcome, you have to have a problem. And here's something I want you to all to understand. It's going to sound really mean, but we all have a problem. We are all losers. You're like, oh man, I didn't want to come to church to be called a loser. But here's the thing. If we didn't have a problem, if we weren't already losing, we wouldn't need to be an overcomer. You see, if we could do life without God, we wouldn't need to be an overcomer. But sin has entered into our world, and we sin and we mess up. And because of that, we can be overcomers because we're in this place of having a problem. But here's the thing. How can we become an overcomer? Well, we can become an overcomer because Jesus is the overcomer. Because Jesus already overcame, that is the only reason that we are able to overcome anything in this life. It's because of Jesus. Let's look in verse 9. It says this. says, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. I love that passage of scripture. Just underline that. God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God. Like, that's just so good. It's just like mind-blowing, but also so simple, right? Which he has given about his son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. That's the testimony of God, that God gave his son to defeat sin, to overcome, so that we might have life and that we might become overcomers as well. That is the testimony. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the son of God does not have life. And so John is telling us that we can be overcomers because Jesus Christ is the overcomer, because he has already overcome. And so here's what I want to do, because I think this passage of scripture really gives us three things that we can overcome. Because if we just say, oh, I'm an overcomer, well, what can I overcome? Well, we have really three things that I think we can overcome. And here's the first one. The first thing we can overcome is we can overcome death. We can overcome death. And 1 John 5:13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so he's saying, hey, if you believe in Jesus, if you put your identity in Jesus as the overcomer, you can know, not just think, not just, oh, in my head, you can know that you have eternal life. But Satan wants us to fear death. And that's really important. Satan wants us to fear death. He wants us to live our whole life fearing death, doing everything we can to protect this life, to make this life comfortable, to have wealth on this life. And so if we spend all of our time, if Satan can get us to spend all of our time on not bad things, but things that can distract us from eternal life, if Satan can do that, then we fear death, because all we have is on this life. And so we just let things distract us from eternity. We let things distract us from this eternal life with God, because we're living for the world. And see, if we put our identity in Jesus, we can overcome death. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can know that we have eternal life. Because death on this earth is not the end. And that's how we overcome death, because we know that there is something better. There's something greater than this life. But Satan wins if he can get us always thinking and always distracted by earthly things. And so let's overcome death by realizing eternal life is real. So that's the first thing we can overcome. The second thing we can overcome is we can overcome sin. We can overcome sin. It says this in verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. See, but Satan wants us to feel trapped in our sin. See, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to think that we cannot overcome that addiction, that we can't overcome that problem with anger, that we can't overcome that lust or telling those lies or gossiping or cursing or fill in whatever sin you struggle with. Satan wants you to think that you cannot overcome those things, and so that you're trapped in your sin. You're trapped in that. See, here's the thing. I think it's important to realize this. You might not have a sin problem this morning, but maybe your problem is an identity problem. You see, John says that anyone born of God, or in other words, anyone that claims to be a follower of Jesus, anyone who claims to make their identity to be found in Christ, does not continue to sin. Now, are we going to mess up? Yeah. Like, I'm not teaching that we have to be perfect, otherwise we're not Christians. We're not. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But if our identity is found in Jesus, we can know that we can overcome our sin. That we can know that because of Jesus being the overcomer, we can have his help to overcome our sin, and we don't have to be trapped in it any longer. But Satan wants us to feel trapped. He wants us to think that we can never get over that. We can never be anything than what we are doing. So if we put our identity in the overcomer, we can know that we can overcome sin. We can overcome that struggle because God is greater than it. God is bigger than it. And so we can overcome death, we can overcome sin, and lastly, we can overcome doubt. 1 John 5:19 and 20 says, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." Now, please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that all doubts, like if you have a doubt, you're terrible. But what I am saying is that the idea of doubts kind of gets us confused. But if we had all the answers, would we need faith? Probably not. But what I am saying, how we can overcome doubt, is that Satan wants our doubts to control us. You ever been there where your doubts start to control you? You know that moment where you question maybe your ability to do something, and so you don't do it? So you doubted yourself, and you're like, I can't do it. So then you wind up not doing it. That was almost me yesterday. Like, I was like, I can't run this race. Like, I told my wife, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to back out. Like, I'd only trained like one time in the last month, which is not good to run a half marathon. So I was like, don't try it. I was like, I can't do this, right? I almost let my doubt of myself control what I did. Or maybe for you, you doubted someone's motives. And so you didn't trust them anymore. And so you let that doubt of, I don't think that their motives are pure. I doubt that that's what they really are trying to do. And so then we don't trust them anymore. You see, John says that we can overcome our doubts because Jesus has given us understanding if we seek it. I love this passage of scripture. John throws out a couple words multiple times. He throws out the word know. You can know. You can know that you're a child of God. You can know that God is true. And the second word is that idea of true. You can know that God is the true God. You see, we can overcome doubts and not let our doubts control us anymore. Because of Jesus, we can know that God is the one true God. We don't have to let those doubts. So, do you believe that you're an overcomer this morning? Do you really believe that? Is it part of your identity this morning? Here's what I want to ask this question. What do you need God to help you overcome today? What is that thing that you need God to help you overcome? Because it's only through Jesus that we can overcome. And so, what do you need help? And so here's what I want to do. I want to spend the next couple minutes, or the next minute, and I want you to really ask yourself that question. What do you need God to help you overcome today? Maybe today you need God to help you overcome death, because you're focused on this life way too much. And you forget about eternal life. And you're putting things of this earth above godly things. Maybe for you this morning, you need help overcoming sin. Maybe you have some sin struggle in your life and you need help from God to overcome that. Or maybe for you, you've let doubt control you for so long. You've let doubt control you in your walk with Jesus. Because you've doubted, maybe you haven't been living the way that you know God wants you to. Or maybe you, because of doubt, you haven't taken steps that you know God wants you to take. So maybe you need to overcome doubt this morning. So what I want to do is just take 30 seconds, and I want us to pray this prayer. To say, God, can you help me overcome whatever it is? Whatever that thing in your life is. And then here's what I want you to pray that part, and then I want you to pray this. And God, show me how to do that. Lead me in that. Give me the steps I need to take. Give me the people around me that need to help me and keep me accountable. Whatever that looks like for you this morning, I want you to pray those things. So we're just going to do that for the next 30 seconds. You bow your heads. Father God, there are people in this room and online who need your help to overcome. So Jesus, because you are the overcomer, help us overcome those things in our life. God, give us the steps, the actions that we need to take to be that overcomer. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are looking at your watch. You're like, yeah, we get out early today. We don't, okay? Some of you are like, oh, the student pastor should speak more often. Wow, I get to lunch early. No, so here's what I want to do. This is what I do with my students all the time, is because I think sometimes we hear messages and we hear series, but we don't necessarily have a time to reflect or respond. And so what I want to do is this is the wrap-up of our series on identity. And I want us to take a few moments to really reflect and respond to it. Because again, if we don't have this time, a lot of us, myself included, would just be like, all right, that was a good sermon, let's go, all right? And so it's important to take time and take moments to reflect. And so again, we're talking about identity. And all of us have some place where we are with our identity with Christ. And so here's what I want to do. There is a theorist by the name of James Marsha, okay, and who researched the topic of identity crisis and identity confusion. And his work was back in the 1960s, but it's still used today. And so Marsha actually used the term identity status to label and describe four unique developmental identity stations or points in someone's life. And so here's what I want to do. I want to explain these four statuses or stations, and I want you just to think through, where are you when it comes to your identity with Jesus? Because I think all of us kind of fall onto this at some place, okay? And so that's what we're going to do over the next, just because I think it's important that we think through this a little bit and not just talk about identity and be like, cool, let's go. But think through maybe where we are and according to our identity with Jesus, okay? And so the first identity status is called identity diffusion. And this describes a person who has neither explored nor committed to any particular identity. And so really their level of exploration is really low and their level of commitment is really low. And so these people are kind of the people who haven't really considered identity at all. They're kind of just floating through life, okay? And so by way of illustration, consider the example of Tyler, okay? So Tyler, he goes to church every once in a while because it's something that his family did when he was younger. But he doesn't really pay attention or he doesn't get involved. He kind of shows up after the worship has already started, kind of sneaks in the back door. And before it ends, he kind of sneaks back out so he doesn't have to talk to anybody and goes back to his car. And really, when someone asks him, like, hey, what do you believe? He kind of mutters, I don't know. See, Tyler hasn't even really considered this question. He doesn't really care to figure it out either. So that might be some of you in this room. The second identity status is the identity foreclosure. This identity status represents a low degree of exploration, but a high degree of commitment. And so these people are not really questioning their values and beliefs that they have been taught. Instead, they really just obtain their identity simply by the people that are around them. So maybe their family, their community, their culture. Okay, so for example, Brittany. Brittany's been going to the same church for 15 years. It was the church that she grew up in. Her parents are followers of Jesus, so they went to church every week when Brittany was younger. She is super involved. She's helping out in children's ministry. She doesn't miss a Sunday, but she doesn't really have a relationship with Jesus outside of church. And when asked, "Why do you believe in God?" she answers, "Well, because I'm supposed to. My grandparents are Christians, my parents are, and so am I." And so this is the person who they just believe because the people around them do. And there's no exploration in that. The third identity status is called the moratorium. This identity status represents a high degree of exploration, but a low degree of commitment. And so at this status, it's someone who probably has gone through or is in the midst of an identity crisis. And so it's something that has kind of prompted them to like try to figure things out. Maybe something big happened in their life and like, whoa, like that was crazy. I don't know what life's about. And so they're starting to question that. They're starting to explore what their purpose is or what should their values and beliefs be. For example, Tim, who's 14, may suddenly begin to argue with his parents about going to Sunday worship service, even though he had been attending church his whole life. Instead, he likes to spend his time reading about all the different world religions and plans to visit several mosques and temples and other worship services and churches around the area to see what it's like. Or he may question the logic of religion altogether. He may even wonder whether God exists at all. See, it is clear that Tim is not quite certain what he believes, but he's actively exploring and trying to figure it out. And the final identity status is identity achievement. And this identity status represents both a high degree of exploration and a high degree of commitment. People are said to have achieved their identity by a process of actively exploring and a strong commitment to a particular set of values and beliefs and life and goals. And so at this point, people will have actually decided what their values and beliefs are going to be. So for example, Miranda reads her Bible almost every day. She doesn't just learn from what the pastor is preaching, but she learns and grows from her own study with the Lord. She has decided that Jesus is who he says he is, and she believes that she is who Jesus says she is. She has made a commitment to follow him with her life and to love others and obey his commandments. So example would be, she is an overcomer because Jesus already overcame. And so, what identity status describes you today? Where do you fall? Because in a room this size and people online, I'm sure there's people in every one of these. Maybe for you, you're the first one and you just come to church because you have to. Because people around you would judge you if you didn't. Maybe you're the second one where you believe because your parents did. And you've never really explored it for yourself, but you're committed to coming to church. Or maybe you're the third one. Maybe something has happened in your life where this is the first time you're trying to explore, who is this Jesus? What is this thing all about? Or maybe you're in the last one where you know who Jesus is and you know who you are based on him. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know where you find your identity today. But here's what I want to do. I want to take the next couple of minutes, and we're going to throw all of the identities of Jesus and what that reveals about us that we've learned throughout this series. That Jesus is the Savior. That Jesus is, that's a hard word for me to say. you can read it, okay? That Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is love, and that Jesus is the overcomer. And that's who Jesus is. And then you can see, well, what does that say about who I am? And I want to take the next couple of minutes. The band's going to come up. They're just going to play, and I just want to reflect. I want you to think about it, to look at these things and say, maybe there's one that sticks up and you're like, man, I really need to catch on to the identity that I am someone who is loved. Because maybe you don't feel very loved. Or maybe for you, you need to overcome something. And so the identity of I can overcome the world because Jesus is the overcomer, maybe that's the one that you need to focus on. Or maybe for you that you're saying, hey, if I put my identity in Jesus, I need to love others better. I don't know what it looks like for you and which one that you need this morning. But take a couple of minutes and let's reflect on it. Let's respond to God. So maybe for you today, you need prayer. Maybe for you this morning, you need to accept Jesus for the very first time. These are who Jesus says he is and who he says you are. And so take a couple of moments and reflect on those. Thank you that you are the Savior, that you are Messiah, that you are love, and that you are the overcomer. Father God, as we think about these things and reflect on them and respond to them, God, help us see ourselves as you see us, and help us put our identity in you. All this in your name.